I'm Dr. Deb Butler, and you are listening to Thinner Peace in Menopause and Beyond. This is episode number 378. Welcome to Thinner Peace in Menopause and Beyond. This is Dr. Deb Butler, Master Life and Weight Coach, and as always, your coach. If you're a woman and you're smart and you're successful and you've been struggling with weight your whole life and now menopause is making it harder than ever and you are ready to make this the last time you ever have to go on a diet again, then this podcast is for you. Stay tuned. Well, hello, everybody all over the world. So today I have something else that I think is going to interest you a lot because it's with another one of my clients. And I have to tell you what an honor and a privilege it is that Renee wanted to come on and share her experience with you. It just warms my heart because, like I said in the interview, I'm not paying her to do this and I'm not telling her what to say. I just want her to share her experience of working with me in the Thinner Peace process, how it worked for her, and let you decide if it's something that resonates with you or not. So today I want to introduce to you another one of my beloved clients who worked very, very hard. And probably one of the main things that I will always remember about Renee is that when we first started working, she did not have or feel a lot of joy about anything. And she's accomplished and she's smart and she does great things in the world, but she just wasn't that happy, is I think the way she said it and how you'll hear it in this interview. And I think the work, this Thinner Peace process that I use with my clients, it's a process and I call it Thinner, the inner peace, because it's so much more than what is going into your mouth. And yet at the same time, I use food to help bring up everything that's going on in your mind. And Renee is really no different from this, as you will hear as she speaks to you from her heart about what this process was like for her. Because I'll tell you what, she is not the same person. And she's going to be the first to tell you that. Yeah, she's lost a lot of weight, but I'll tell you what, she lost the burden first before the weight began to come off. And I know a lot of you think that if you can get the weight off, then everything will be better, or then you'll feel better, or you'll feel better about yourself, or it'll just feel better because there's weight off in your body. But Renee's going to tell you this, but I want you to know this, is that you have to find the joy first. You have to find your own acceptance, self-worth, and happiness within you first before you can stop using food as a way of trying to get joy. Because we'll tell you many, many times in this interview, there was really no joy in the food that she was eating when she wasn't hungry, when she knew that she was looking for it in the wrong places. So, you know, sit back. Relax. As I say, take a bubble bath, whatever it is that you do when you listen to me. And I hope that this interview with Renee resonates with you too. And I hope you learn one thing that you might be able to take away from today that might help you in this week. So sit back and enjoy, and I'll come back at the end and say a few words. Hi, Renee. Welcome to my podcast.
Dr. Deb, it's so good to see you.
Yeah, and really, for people who don't know how I work, I really don't work on video. We really work just on the phone. So this is kind of like our first hello face-to-face. It's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, after this many months, you know, you have a kind of a vision of your mind, what somebody looks like in their presence. And yeah, it's nice to see you.
Yes. Okay, so let's get right down to it, because I've been doing these podcasts for 5 years now, and what I find has been most helpful for people who are listening is probably the experience
of my other clients? Like, what really went on? Is it as good as she says it is when I say that? Or, you know, what I want you to do is I want you to tell the truth, because I want everybody to know, are you being paid for this? Am I paying you any money for this?
No.
Okay. Just let's all be clear. And am I telling you what to say? Did they tell you before we got on here what to say?
No.
Okay. All right. So this is just a real interview. I don't know what's going to come out of your mouth, but I'm welcoming whatever it is, because I want it to be a true experience for the people who are listening, so they get a clear idea of what it's like from your perspective. Okay. So here's my first question. What made you decide to do a mini session?
I had been listening to your podcast for a bit. I had actually stumbled across it probably 4 years ago and was listening for a while and hadn't even thought about doing a mini session then.
Why is that? Tell me. So you started like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Yeah. I mean, I offered it then.
Yeah, I think that I just had other things going on in my life and I just wasn't ready for it at the time. But menopause definitely has kicked in, and I had gained quite a bit during the pandemic, and I was just getting very frustrated with feeling like I wasn't in the body that I want to be in, and have tried several different diets and journaling and such, and it just wasn't clicking for me. So I listened to you again and thought, this has got to be the ticket, because I've been successful with weight loss before, but I've always put it back on. And I think I just never got to the bottom of why I eat when I'm not hungry.
So tell me, because there's probably a lot of people like you who are listening who aren't thinking of doing a mini session. They're not ready. And for those people, when you're ready, just like you, 4 or 5 years ago, you were listening, maybe made a little bit of sense, but not ready.
Yes.
So then did you start listening again, or had you been listening the whole time? Or did you just go, you know, I want to, how did that work that you went from listening and not wanting to do a mini session? And then did you just start listening again, or you've been listening the whole time? Or
no, I hadn't been listening for quite a while, and I must have searched for something about weight loss and menopause, and I recognized your face on your site on the app that I was using. And I thought, I'm going to listen to a few of these. So
what, the second time around when you were listening, you kind of said it, but what made you click on the mini session?
I thought, let's give it a try and see what this is going to be like.
You were ready.
I was ready. Yes.
And I think what I heard you say, because there's probably a lot of people like this, is maybe you weren't sick to death of it yet 4 years ago. Maybe you just thought like, oh, I can do this, or I can figure it out. And then maybe by this time, had you just decided that I need help?
I decided I need help, and what I had been doing wasn't working, and I kept seeing my weight go up pretty significantly from even 4 years ago. So I knew that it had more of a mental and emotional component than just what I'm eating.
Ah, okay. So probably the scale motivated you.
Yes.
That happens with a lot of people. It's like, we'll get on the phone, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the scale. Oh, you know, I've never seen this number before.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we did the mini session and you said yes. So
it took a couple of days. Yes.
It took a couple of days.
Yeah.
What took a couple of days? What was it?
For me to decide whether or not I was going to invest in it. And boy, I'm glad I did.
So I think that's good too, because I don't give you much time to make a decision, just for everybody that's listening. I don't give you very much time. So when you were thinking about it and deciding if you were going to make the investment, what did your brain say that said yes?
I think I just said, I'm ready to do something different, and I deserve this, and I'm investing in myself and my future.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I don't think I've ever done anything like this. So it's been really a great experience.
Wonderful. So it's good for everybody to know, even though we're just getting into the podcast, that it's been a great experience. And it's been a great experience for me working with you. And the reason that is for me is because there is nothing that I told you or asked you to do that you wouldn't or didn't do.
Correct. Yes.
You know, I mean, you did everything I said. Let's just put it that way. Why did you decide to do everything that I told you to do? Because not everything I said was easy.
No, it wasn't. Part of it was, you know, just making that financial investment. And I think just mentally ready to do it. And, you know, I was very busy. It's the height of the second wave of a pretty significant pandemic. And I work in healthcare. And I could think of every excuse of why I didn't want to do it at the time. But I just finally told myself that I'm strong and I can do this. And I'm so glad I did.
I love that. I want everybody to hear that, that before you started working with me, that you had the wherewithal to back yourself up like that to get you to do this. Because there's a lot of people that I think want to work with me, but they let so many things stand in their way, like the investment, the money, how busy they are. And with you, I just want to say, I mean, if you want to say like what you do in the health field, you know, I mean, if you want to just tell everybody. Like
I'm a nurse practitioner and I work in an urgent care setting. So we've had quite a difficult couple of years.
Yes. And also that you're working on a degree in school.
Yes. Yes. I'm working on my doctoral degree.
And she's working on her doctoral degree in the middle of all of this and decided to invest in herself to make sure, and I'm just putting words in your mouth, but this is the way that I see it. To make what you're already doing in your life, make it even better and more meaningful.
Yes. Yes. I have so much more energy and focus through doing this program. It's really just become part of my daily life. And I don't feel overwhelmed with everything that's going on in my life anymore. I think part of that is just an awareness.
Yeah, because I would say the first thing, well, the first few calls that we had, the beginning of the call was always, I'm so busy. I got so much to do, you know, and work is busy. And all the reasons of why you couldn't eat.
Yes. Or I mean, why I couldn't eat or why I was eating throughout the day and not paying attention to what was going in. So, yeah.
And evenings, just kind of to preface this whole thing. Your evenings, that was filled in the beginning with a lot of non-aware joy eating. And that's where a lot of our work really came in.
Yes.
Were the evenings. And I like to talk about the evenings because I would say mostly 80% of everybody has that problem with the nighttime, the evening. So you're a busy woman. And I think that it's like you work during the day and I think you were working on your doctorate at night doing your, I mean, you were always doing something and usually at night. So your evenings have changed so drastically from my end in terms of what you do or what you put in your mouth. I'd like you to maybe talk about that a little bit because everybody will go, that's me. They're going to resonate with what you say and how you helped yourself.
It didn't happen right away.
It didn't. Tell everybody that it didn't happen overnight.
It didn't happen. It probably took at least a month before I started looking at specifically what was going on in the evening. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that the emotional brain takes precedence more as we're tired in the evening and trying to process what's going on in the day. And that oftentimes will lead to emotional eating because we don't want to look at how we're feeling. So part of it was that, I think some of those habits, and I'm no longer there. Part of it was just really committing to writing down everything that I ate, but it is more than that. Now, when I eat or when I think about eating and I'm not actually hungry, I'll ask myself, well, what's going on? And it'll just give that little pause in my mind. And usually the urge to eat something that wasn't planned is kind of goes away after that.
You say it so easily. And I want everybody to know that when you talk about really the first 4 weeks, and I want everybody to hear this, was really about just seeing what's going on.
Yes.
Right? You being committed to write down everything that you ate, and everything that you ate, probably you didn't want to write down, my guess is, right?
Right. Yes. I remember you clicking on, I put everything on a spreadsheet.
Yes, you did. Yes,
it further, was a spreadsheet. And I did it week by week by tabs. And 1 week you looked at one of my first weeks thinking that it was that week. And you're like, this is different. But it is really interesting to look back and see how things have changed.
It really is. And when you change the way that you eat, like you have over the course of time, really to go back and look at these food journals, it's going back and like looking at journaling, at your writing, at your thoughts. It's about what you're putting in your mouth. And at the same time, the progress and the process that you've had of the way your food journals look in the evening now, which is more eating when you're hungry and stopping when you're full kind of a thing. And yes, actually going to sleep when you're tired, for instance, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That is such a fascinating process to watch from my end, and probably from your end too, if you can remember that you were using food for so many things in the evening, kind of like how to get through the evening and to reward yourself in the evening for such a hard day.
Yes.
And so since you're not, how does that work for you now? Now that you're not using food to get through the evening, you're still getting through the evening.
Still get through the evening. Just an example, just 2 days ago, I had a very busy day at work. Yes. And I was thinking back, it wasn't that long ago, 5 months ago, that I would have come home and the first thing I would have done was open the refrigerator to try to, I guess, take out my frustration. And instead, when I got out of the car, I didn't even go into the house for about 45 minutes. I decided to do some gardening. Food wasn't even on my mind at the time. And I felt so much more clear and kind of refreshed after having a tough day by doing something else. So I found other ways to really nourish myself emotionally rather than looking to food.
Right. And that is not, I want everybody to realize, it's not like trying to distract yourself either. I mean, there's a difference between, I think I'll garden instead of eat, but it's more like your mind talks to you in a different way. And you want to say something about that, because to do that, it's a mind change.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, it happened I'm not going to say organically, because it certainly took a lot of work, but it's just that drive to always be looking for food is gone. Other than when I'm hungry, I still enjoy eating, but I'm finding that my life is more rich and I'm happier.
Yeah. Say something about that. Yeah. I want you to say something about that, because in the beginning, I think basically what you told me is that you just weren't happy and that you didn't have any joy.
I didn't have any joy. And I remember you asking me when I felt, or what were my signals when I felt hungry. And I remember telling you, I never feel hungry. I'm always bloated. And it's because I was eating too much. I had really lost that connection with my body to know when my physical hunger was talking to me.
How come you didn't quit?
There were a couple of times where I was, thinking, geez, I don't know if I can do this. Part of it was certainly the commitment that I made financially and mostly to myself. After about a month, I started seeing the weight come off and I started exercising more and I just felt so much better physically and emotionally. It wouldn't have even made sense to walk away.
So do you remember anything that actually happened where you thought you couldn't do it anymore? Do you remember an incident or something that might have happened in those first 4 weeks?
I don't think so, actually. I was pretty set on trying to follow this all through.
Yeah. You were. What was the fine line between I'm not sure I can do this to, oh my gosh, I'm gonna do this? Or I know from hoping it might work to knowing it would work.
just doing the assignments that I was given each week and really paying attention to what was changing in my body, in my mind,
yes,
in my actions.
Yes.
Those little things motivated me to keep working, and it's still motivating me to keep working.
I love that. And we did an urge worksheet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And can you say, because a lot of people don't understand urges a lot when they hear the podcast, and we do a lot of work with urges when we're working individually like this. Can you say something about, because what you said is you don't have very many urges now.
Not as many. I still occasionally, yes, but not nearly as many.
Okay. So you still have urges. How do you handle them now when you have them?
I ask myself, what's going on? And usually that's enough to just give me that little pause and kind of reframe, just decide to look, it's not on the menu or I'm not hungry.
So you might have a thought that creates an urge, like the lemon tart things or the
lemon tart. Yes.
What is it?
Lemon tart. Yes.
Yeah, lemon tart. You said that you love those and you didn't know about those. If you could be mindful about them.
Uh-huh.
So how do you handle that? What's the thought that would create the urge to want to eat it? And then what is the managing thought that you use after you've thought about it for a minute that you use instead to eat it or not eat it? But when, you know, yes, if it's an urge and you're not planning on eating it.
Well, the thought that makes me want to eat it when it's not on my plan, is that what you're asking?
Uh-huh. Like, let's just say it's out there or you see it or somebody's eating it.
Oh, you know, well, it would be a mixture of desire and also shaming myself to even wanting it. There was a lot of self-shaming that I, you know, you shouldn't want this. There was a negative talk that went around eating things that, you know, were our joy foods.
Ah.
That was tough to look at because I was eating things thinking that I was enjoying them. And I don't know if I really was because there were so many negative thoughts going all around me when I was eating it afterwards, especially afterwards. And now I did have a lemon tart not that long ago, and I purposely went to a bakery and bought it, and I waited and I shared it with my partner and we enjoyed it. I tasted each bite and really it's about 4 bites in, and that's actually was enough. I didn't need to finish it.
And you enjoyed it?
I did. Uh-huh. It was very good. And I didn't allow myself to go down some, you know, negative thoughts or anxiety about it or anything. So just said it's food and it was tasty. And, you know, now what's next? Yeah.
That's a beautiful success story right there for somebody who loves. And everybody out there has something that they love that they just think they can't eat if they're going to lose weight or whatever it is, or there's something wrong with them. What you say is, and I think what causes the biggest problem is the talk that you have around something that you think you love to eat that you can't eat, but you can't have it. It doesn't make you not eat it. It just makes you feel bad while you're eating it.
Yeah. Just this, all that negative talk around food.
I think that's very interesting. I think everybody has it and doesn't realize it, that it's very hard to really enjoy what we call a joy eat, a non-nutritious food that tastes really, really good, when your brain is telling you you shouldn't be eating it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah. And so you're saying, oh, but I had it and I know I could eat it.
I really enjoyed
it and didn't need a lot of it.
I did not. And I know for sure that going on a trip soon, and I know for sure that we'll plan some joy eats, but it's not the center of my day or what I'm really looking forward to anymore.
It's a big thing for you, Renee. And the other thing I think for you that I want people to hear about is I just don't feel like you had this joy of living, this joy of life. And we did a lot of work on the model and on mind management. And I wanted to help you see your same circumstances in a way to help you change your perception about how you were seeing your life. I would like you just to say a little bit about that, because your life is pretty much the same. It's not like anything changed, you know, since we started working. I mean, circumstantially, the same job, the same. You're still working on your PhD, same partner, same people in your life. I mean, if they're watching this video, they're going to see the smile on your face and the joy in your voice. And it wasn't there before. And we talked about eating, but I always say it's not about the food, but it's all about the food.
This is emotional, mental, and spiritual work. That's all I can say is it's what I needed to make changes in myself and how I'm living to, you know, I really feel hopeful about my future. I'm, you know, not that there's no frustrations, that's life, right. But I feel more able to deal with them. And I notice when I need to do a model about some negative thoughts, you know, or doubts about something. And that really does seem to work for me well.
Yeah. So what you're talking about, because people may not know, the model is just something that I teach you on how to break down any problem into five components: circumstance, triggers thoughts, thoughts trigger feelings, feelings cause actions, and actions create results. And there's a way to do that. And if you're diligent, as Renee has been, and learned how to do it, you can put down and see why you're feeling the way you're feeling about anything. And, you know, when you're having negative emotion, it's only because you're thinking something. It's not because of your circumstance. It's not because of your work. It's not because of your partner. It's not because of any of that. It's always because of your perception of what's going on. And you were so diligent about doing that work. So when you're talking about it now, I want people to know that you just did what I told you to do and you practiced. And you can see the same life that you have in a totally different light if you do this work. Do you agree with me?
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's
I feel like somebody put a new filter on in front of my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a new filter. It's like you see your eyes, your vision almost changes. Even though you're seeing the same thing, you're not perceiving it in the same way. Truly for you, that's what I saw. So my last question is this. What would you say to anybody who's listening to this podcast who felt just like you felt? They were not happy. They're not enjoying their life, not happy with their bodies, believing they can't control themselves around food, and thinking that if they have never been able to do it before, why would they be able to do it now? Pretty much where you were.
Well, I would say that just telling yourself that you can't control yourself around food and that you're going to be a failure is one of the things that's probably stopping you from making changes that will actually make a difference for you. I strongly encourage you to think about doing a mini session and participate in the program. I've been listening to your podcast now most days, actually. Yeah. I've almost caught up through all of your 5 years of recording. Yay! But you give a lot of tools throughout your podcast. But for me, I need that individual attention and coaching. That's what made the difference for me.
Wow. Would you say that this has been not only, because you've lost quite a bit of weight.
Yes. Now I'm down to 25 pounds.
25 yeah. pounds. That's a big number. And that is very cool. But would you say that this program and process that you did with me was life-changing, not just body-changing, but life-changing?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, my outlook is different. And I feel like I'm in touch with who I am. And that I have tools that help me manage any situation that comes up in my life, whether it's positive or negative. I no longer want to feel numb by overeating. I want to experience life. That's what's changed.
Wow. So you want to experience life and you're experiencing it in a totally different way. Same life, new mind, new body.
Yeah.
Renee, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I loved every minute of working with you.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Dr. Jeff.
Wonderful. Well, what did I tell you about Renee? She's a pretty happy person these days, as she was more than happy to tell you about it, and so happy that she did this process with me.
And, you know, she wasn't afraid to tell you, and I want to remind you that in the beginning, she didn't start losing weight right in the beginning. And a lot of the stuff about eating and food was showing up at night for her, just like a lot of you. And yet, by the end of the program, her nighttime was so different. Number one, because she went to sleep instead of eating, for one. And she started using food for fuel, and she started finding joy and happiness by really managing her own mind. And I know you heard that in this interview. And like we both said in this interview, you know, I didn't pay her for this, and I didn't tell her what to say. It was just from her heart. And I loved every minute of working with her, as I do with all of my clients. So if Renee resonated with you, and you would like to go through the process that she went through, or you think that I might be the coach that could help you too, just like Renee thought for her, then all you have to do is go to drdebbutler.com/work-with-me. And you can set up a mini session. It's a free 30-minute mini session where I can, number one, tell you about how my process and program works. And if I think that you might be a good fit for the work that I do, because that's really what this mini session is about, is for us to decide if I can help you or not. And I will tell you that usually when I'm through with this mini session, I always know, and I always find out that the clients that I end up working with, they know too. So if this interests you, or you're ready this summer to make this the last summer you ever have to lose weight again, then just go to drdebbutler.com/work-with-me, and you can set up that mini session and make this that last summer. And of course, before I end this, you know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway, and you know Renee said it too. No matter where you go, no matter what else you do today, please, please, please be very, very kind to yourself, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye. If you're loving my podcast and you would like some more information to be able to follow along with, then please go to drdebbutler.com/change, and you can get a free copy of my companion book that goes with this podcast that I refer to in many different episodes. That is drdebbutler.com/change, C-H-A-N-G-E.